Welcome to episode 39 of Offbeat Tracks. Hey, 39, that means we have a special superlatives episode coming
I
next
know.
Week. Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, I wonder what it's going to be. Also, have we decided what it's going to be?
Yes, but we won't reveal that just yet. Okay. Suffice it to say, it's
I think
a good
I forgot
one.
What it's going to be, so that's why it's like, I wonder what it's going to be. No, really, I do wonder what it's going to be.
Anyway. Also, I'm very excited that we are doing one of my favorite underground 80s artists, and I say underground because they're kind of a one-hit wonder. I'm excited because today is a special day, and since it is my special day, I'm very happy that we're doing this artist that I love so much on my special day. It's my birthday.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, we do this in the future. I was like,
yes.
Is it prom?
It's my birthday.
Oh yeah, I know.
This Rockwell's my birthday episode.
Yeah, that is so
cool. Isn't that exciting? So we're talking about Rockwell today, who you almost certainly know from a big hit that he had in 1984 that we're going to talk about shortly. But let's get a little background on Rockwell. I've known a little bit about Rockwell through the years because last week on Johnny H. Jazz, we talked about like those VH1 one hit wonder shows that would air all the time when we were younger. And every time Rockwell would come up, they would always mention that he was a Gordy, that he was the son of Berry Gordy, who founded Motown Records. So everybody kind of knew that about Rockwell if you're even sort of a music nerd.
Yes.
This also, of course, means that he is related to the two guys who are in LMFAO, which is hilarious.
See, like, I'm super obsessed with like families, like famous families.
Uh-huh.
Like, so like the Gordys are like the Gordys and the Jacksons are like intertwined for me.
They're kind of the Kennedys. Way. They're like the Kennedys of R&B music, aren't they?
Speaking of Kennedy, that's Rockwell's real name.
Exactly. So
yeah,
I was
mean, they really
that.
Are. I mean, there are like a few families that are kind of like that, but like the Gordys are amazing. They intertwine with everybody.
I knew there was a reason I had Kennedy in my head. Yeah, you're right. We should mention that. His real name is Kennedy.
It is not Rockwell Gordy.
Kennedy William Gordy is his real name.
No.
I could not confirm this, but it is the urban legend is that Rockwell used a fake name, which I presume was Rockwell, to get his record deal because he didn't want to be accused of nepotism. He wanted to get his deal on his own.
Yeah, what I've read about it is like his dad kicked him out of the house for whatever reason because Berry Gordy was mad and he ended up like moving in with someone who used to be involved with his dad, like some lady that his dad like married or dated at some point. And she had like music connections too. And she heard him working on music and was like, oh, hey, you should get this made. And this was somebody's watching me. And so he ends up getting it done without his dad's help because he didn't want his dad's help. He didn't want to be known as a Gordy.
Interesting.
You know, for that kind of nepotism kind of crap.
Also worth noting, this is the biggest shock I had in researching Rockwell's biographical information. I had no idea how young he was when that first album came out.
Super young.
He was 19.
Mm-hmm. He's a babe.
Yeah. Had no idea he was such a kid. So yeah, Rockwell's only 19 years old when he gets his record deal, and his first record, which is called Somebody's Watching Me, comes out in 1984. This is like March of 1984. This album was a pretty big hit. It hit number 15 on the Billboard 200, which is their album chart. And of course, the title track is the first single and his most well-known song to date. It was a number 2 hit on the Hot 100 and a number 1 R&B hit. And
it's so good.
Yeah, this is undoubtedly one of my favorite songs of all time. I never, ever get tired of this song.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think it's just, like, I love, like, the Michael Jackson thing.
Yes, Michael Jackson does sing the chorus of the song, in case you didn't know
that. I read this about how Michael Jackson ended up on that record. Of course, like, they all kind of grew up together, like the Jacksons and the Gordys. And so Rockwell knew Michael. And apparently, like, he was recording Somebody's Watching Me and was like, I think I want Michael Jackson to sing this chorus. And so he like just decides to hang out with Michael Jackson one day and goes and picks him up at his house and then brings him back. And he was like, hey, Michael, can you just hop in that booth and like record this chorus? And Michael was like, okay. And so
I remember from, I think it was Pop-Up Video or some kind of urban legend-y thing like that. The legend is that Michael Jackson, when Rockwell asked him to sing this hook, said, give me 10 minutes and a dark room.
Oh, that's even cooler. There's so much myth around this. But also Jermaine Jackson does a little bit of the background vocals on it, too.
I didn't know that.
Jermaine is his brother-in-law at the time.
Oh, that's right.
He was married to Hazel Gordy, Berry Gordy's oldest child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So many Gordys. Wow. There were millions of Gordys.
The Gordys were everywhere.
We might actually be Gordys. We don't know.
Anything's possible. Yeah, Somebody's Watching Me is an iconic song for so many reasons. It's a Halloween classic, and you know I love Halloween music a lot.
Yeah.
And it's the first time we get this iconic Rockwell delivery. And I mean, he really did have a unique vocal presentation. I've never heard anybody else do it quite like Rockwell did.
Yeah, it's like that.
He
kind
had
of
a very unique style. Just this, you know, that very like, wah, yeah,
over the top, yeah, like, kind like, of a thing.
I'm afraid
like,
to wash my hair.
And it's like it's a delivery that doesn't work for a lot of people.
No, but it works for him. He nails it. Because when you're doing something that's kind of goofy and kind of cheesy like that, if you half-ass it and you come across as like sort of insecure and still trying to be cool, it like it's totally lame. But if you go full on into it, which I think Rockwell does, and you own that shit, it is yours for the taking. And Rockwell, Rockwell never like he looked it right in the face.
Yeah, especially on this song, 100% yes.
Yes. I almost at least once a week think of that when I'm in the shower and washing my hair, that I might open my eyes and find someone standing there.
I'd never think about that, but I should.
I broke the door real tight. People call me on the phone I'm trying to avoid. Well, can the people on TV see me, or am I just paranoid? When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch, but maybe showers remind me of psycho too much. That's why I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me, who's playing tricks on me.
Rockwell follows up "Somebody's Watching Me," quite literally follows up. If you, I don't know if you watched the music video to this, but like "Somebody's Watching Me" plays in the beginning of it, and it follows right from the "Somebody's Watching Me" video. Yes, he follows it up with a single called "Obscene Phone Caller,"
which is not as dirty as you hope it is.
Yeah, I know, a little disappointing. This hit number 35 on the Hot 100. It was also a top 40 hit. Hit number 9 R&B.
Good and funky.
Yeah, and he kind of kept the Halloween-y thing going, right?
Yeah, I mean it worked. Well, of course, you have to think, like, he's a little bit trying to play off the Michael Jackson thing, so he's got, like, a really cool video, like, a little video thing. Also, a little bit of a Thriller thing.
Right, right.
Like, it's all very intertwined, and it works. It was all cool back then.
And we were talking with the last song about how he owned his goofiness, but, there's a great shot in this video when he, like, it cuts to him playing the violin, and he's, like, mugging the camera.
I like the part where he, like, walks in, and someone goes, "Good evening, Mr. Rockwell."
Oh, yeah.
Which I love a lot.
Mr. Rockwell.
Mr. Rockwell.
Maybe he's like Mario and his name is Rockwell Rockwell. That's his stage name. Just one final thought about this. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody did a mashup of this song and the File 13 Tastes So Good that we did? That would be insane.
It's a lot.
Maybe I'll get to work on that.
Yeah, you should.
Hello? Who is this?
About one more from the "Somebody's Watching Me" album, a random Beatles cover that he does for some reason. He covers the song "Taxman." Yeah. Why?
Because that synth bass.
Yeah.
Good lord, this is like a dope synth bass.
Yeah.
But I mean, why not, Max?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Rockwell's gonna do what Mr. Rockwell's gonna do.
That's right. I mean, I definitely do not hide the fact that I don't care for the Beatles. So I guess points to Rockwell for making the Beatles a little listenable to me.
Wow, okay.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
Before we move forward, I have to offer a little bit of a disclaimer. I edit these shows, and I make every effort to keep... I take a lot of pride in the audio quality of this show.
Yes.
That's why we use good microphones. This music is almost all of it is from my personal collection, stuff that I have ripped over the years, like from my personal CDs or vinyls that I have and whatnot. I do not own a copy of Rockwell's second album. It's just not something I've ever come across. I don't have it. So I had to borrow these MP3s. I did not rip them. I'm not happy with the quality of them. So I apologize in advance for the quality of the songs, specifically that we're going to, the two that we're going to talk about on this record. I wish I had better quality MP3s, but at the time of production, I do not. So apologies moving forward. The third record that we're going to talk about in a little bit, actually, I ripped from my own collection. And I just did it last night. Because I was not happy with the ones that I already had. Yeah, unfortunately, Rockwell's second and third album have never been released in any digital format, so I'm reliant on my own rips or rips from other people who own these. So just wanted to offer that little disclaimer moving forward. Rockwell's second record came out in 1985, next year. Rockwell was quite prolific for his short career.
Yeah.
3 years and three albums. This one is called Captured by an Evil Mind. Did not chart well.
No.
Number 120 on the Billboard 200. And number 52 on the R&B albums chart.
Whoa.
Yeah. And really not a great choice for the first single, in my opinion.
I mean, it's fun, but it's just, I don't know, it didn't have anything different about it. It didn't stick out.
It's actually, if you listen to the whole record, which, I know it's hard to find, but this is, to me, one of the weaker songs. And I don't really know why he put this out as the first single. It's called He's a Cobra. The only charted hit was the R&B chart, and it peaked at 65, so not a big hit.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I don't hate it, though. I mean, it's fun to listen to, but I can see why it went nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, not much else to say about it. I wonder if Paula Abdul, whoever wrote Paula Abdul's Cold Hearted Snake, kind of got the idea from this song.
Yeah.
Who knows? So now I'm going to shift my tone completely because we're about to talk about my favorite Rockwell song that is not Somebody's Watching Me.
This
song is amazing. It's called Peeping Tom. This is his only song that charted on the dance chart. This was a number 21 dance
hit. Somebody's Watching Me didn't even?
No.
Wow.
No, ma'am.
Wow. Yeah, no, I love Peeping Tom. I've loved Peeping Tom for years, ever since I saw Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Yes. I was going to hope movie. You knew that connection to our other offbeat artist.
Vanity.
Miss Vanity, yes. This is on the soundtrack to The Last Dragon. And what a great music video, too.
Yes.
This is like a perfect follow-up to the first two that we discussed. It's just more Rockwell being Rockwell.
I mean, at this time, like, you know, that kind of signature delivery that we talked about for him, it's kind of going away. He's becoming more of like, he's actually like singing.
Yeah.
He's got a good voice.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Yeah, so I mean, this is him. Keep in mind,
still, he's only like 20, 21 years old still. He's still a kid. So it's like he's kind of finding his feet as an artist. And it's really weird to think, like, when you write these people off as one-hit wonders, but... Like, these people were artists who grew and changed and, like, tried to make a career. Like, he's a perfect example of that.
I think, too, at this point, he's working with his dad, which helps a lot in the production and just the generation.
I'm going to bring something up about that in just a minute. But, yes, I want to say, Peeping Tom, you will be singing along to this song by the end of your first listen. It's good. It's an incredibly well-written pop song. Beautiful track.
I agree.
Okay, so Rockwell's third record, The Genie, comes out in 1986, the next year. This was also not a big hit, number 59 R&B.
No.
This, I discovered this record. This was like how I got into other Rockwell music, probably a decade ago. I think I was in a record store, And I picked up this out of a dollar bin. Here's my copy Aww. Of Rockwell's The Genie. I have this out because I made note of something last night. He looks
so serious on that cover.
Yes, I know. He's dressed as a genie on the back, showing the midriff and all. But I wanted to point out something that I noticed last night on the credits. So I would like for you to read out loud. See, under the producer credit, you got produced by Rockwell, but under that.
Produced by Rockwell and Carrie Ashby. All arrangements by Rockwell, right. Asterisk.
Asterisk, exactly. All arrangements by Rockwell, asterisk. And then what does it say down by the
asterisk?
Rockwell
is a trademark of Motown Record Corporation for sound recordings.
Now, what do you make of that?
It was Berti Gordy.
Do you make that they are just now using Rockwell as a name for a collective of musicians who was actually doing the arranging on this record?
I don't know. I think
then old Kennedy here was just kind of the face of the project at that point. I mean, I have nothing to back me up except for that, but that raised my eyebrow, and I thought, I wonder if they just kind of like lifted this Rockwell identity that he created and like appropriated it as a musical entity so that they could get away with pulling in more musicians on this record. I never noticed it until last night.
Rockwell's a trademark.
I'll tell you what, I'll scan this and send you an image, and then we can put this up on the show page so people can see what I'm talking about here.
Rockwell is a trademark of Motown.
Rockwell is a trademark of Motown Record Company.
That's so Gordy.
Yeah.
Everyone's a trademark of Motown.
To be honest, I would not have thought anything of it if it had just been down here by itself. But the fact that it specifically starred next to where it says all arrangements by Rockwell, and that's where they put the asterisk and then the footnote follows.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little suspect to me, and I never noticed that before. But anyway, I don't mean to take any credit away from old Kennedy and his Rockwell arrangements.
Do the liner notes have like actual personnel on it? Or does personnel just say...
This actually does have good liner notes. Rockwell. It's got a good inner sleeve with good liner notes. Let's find out. I mean, see, these all say written by Rockwell and somebody else. So again, if they're using Rockwell to mean a collective of artists, I don't know. So anyway,
what a mystery.
Yes. There's in the thank yous of this, I just noticed too, there's a big long quote here and he's signed it Rock.
No.
Isn't that cute? So we're going to talk about the first single off of The Genie, which is this is the first Rockwell song I ever heard that wasn't Somebody's Watching Me, like a decade ago.
Okay, all right.
Called Carme. I have the 7-inch of this somewhere too. The 7-inch cut of this is fantastic.
It's dope.
Yeah, this is some solid dance pop music here.
Yeah, it's super good.
Only charted on R&B, didn't even hit top 40 on that chart. There was actually a good stretch of my life where this song was my ringtone.
That's good. Yeah, I just kind of wonder like... I don't know. I feel like a lot of these songs of later Rockwell are really good pop songs, and they're well-produced, and they're awesome. And I just wonder, in a way, why they weren't promoted harder. Because, like, Motown had that. I wonder if Rockwell was kind of like, you know, like, I'll let you help produce Dad and Brothers and all that stuff. But he was like, please don't. If it's going to be a hit, it's going to be a hit on its own. I wonder if he really controlled that.
It could have been some kind of familial dispute. Like, the more I think about it, that asterisk is really just speaking a lot to me. Like, maybe Rockwell, I know we're just, like, inventing this man's life here, but I'm trying to put the pieces together, because it could, I don't know, I really feel like maybe he just got edged creatively out of what was his own project.
I mean, I had a history of doing that from the beginning. That's why artists would get mad and leave them, because Berti Gordy took over everything and you had no input into creativity. Stevie Wonder was one of those. The Jacksons was one of those. Yeah. So.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. We may be onto something here. Maybe we should do an investigative podcast.
I just want to talk to Berti Gordy. Do you think
I want to track down Rockwell. I wish we could find him.
He's got to be around.
Just wanted to note one more on Rockwell's The Genie album, just because I like this song. It's called Grow Up, and he spells it grow-up! which I love. Sounds like some kind of lawn care product.
I love it.
Just a sassy song.
Like, baptize me in it.
Yeah.
I really love this song. I never heard it. This is a really good song.
Yeah.
It's like funky and smooth, which is perfect. You scream out for attention like a child. Flirt with all my friends to drive me wild.
So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I did try to track down where Rockwell is today. He has no web presence that I could find. I got very excited and found a website from someone named Ken Rockwell. And I was like, is that Kennedy? Is that him? But nope, it was just some white dude who's a photographer. Womp womp.
That is a very white dude photographer name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's like necessarily out of the spotlight. I just don't think he's in it.
No,
but a lot of the Gordys live that way.
We haven't seen him in 30 years. So no,
he like got married and then divorced. And so Rockwell's single.
If you're looking. Rockwell's single.
Hashtag Rockwell's single. That. If anyone can find him, you might be able to date him.
Yeah, I hope this podcast gets to him and maybe he can confirm or deny some of this mess. Not that I don't know if he would ever speak ill of his dad if any of what we've come up with is true. But I don't know. I would like to know why, like you said, why the songs weren't promoted better. Because Peeping Tom should have been a top 10 hit. Easy.
Yes.
Especially. Like, yes. Obscene Phone Caller should have been a top 10 hit, but mm-hmm. Peeping Tom especially, like, that song wasn't a hit is baffling to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a combination of, like, the controllingness of Gordy. Whether that's good or bad, that's just the way he ran his label, and it was very successful. So I don't blame him for doing that, but I mean, he was just, I don't think, I can easily see it not extending quite in the right way to his son, even.
Yeah.
You know? Or him blatantly fighting against it.
I guess. Well, Rockwell, we love you. We love your three albums. If you hear this, please reach out to us because we'd love to chat with you.
I would like to go to dinner at the Gordys.
Yes.
Please.
Don't make me be a Peeping Tom outside your house.
Please.
Although I'm guessing from a lot of your material here that you may have a fetish for that. So.
So like we won't do it, but like if you want us to.
Yeah, if you want us to, sure. Anything for you, Rocky.
No.
So. If you have a fetish that you'd like to tell us about, you can get it to us on our website at offbeattrackscast.com. They can also tweet their fetishes at us.
You could. You could DM if it's really crazy.
Slide in those DMs with that fetish.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at Twitter at Offbeat Tracks. We're also on Facebook, too.
Oh, yeah.
Offbeat
Tracks Podcast. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Get us on Facebook. That's a great place to reach us, actually. Mm-hmm. And tell us what you'd like to hear us do. Next week, we're going to have a special Superlatives episode. Very excited about it.
That I'll totally remember by the time we do
episode
it.
Episode 40. Can you freaking believe we've got 40 episodes?
I know. We're almost at a year.
Almost. Wow. It's getting close.
What have we done in that year, either? Have we progressed in our lives?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm just more tired.
We've heard more Rockwell. I'm happy.
We have heard more Rockwell, yes. And lip sync.
Yes, and lip sync.
Anyway.
Cheers. Until next time, I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
Bye.